From their new album, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for De La.
Go!
I've already pressed it. We're back. Yeah,
we are back.
We're back. Noz is back.
Returning the Mac.
Noz has been in prison.
I have.
You haven't. Imagine if that's what you was like when my do you know my granddad went to prison when I was a kid?
Yeah.
I mentioned it on the pod.
You went to see him?
Yeah, and they said he was working away, but they all had the same uniform on. Like, I thought that they all.
It's a common thing with Asian families.
I'm not saying prison.
Yeah, no. If like being from Cheatham Hill, so like you did occasionally get like friends and family who sort of like had the odd person go to prison. Like the thing used to be they've gone to Pakistan for a while.
That
used to almost be code. Whereas really they've gone to prison for a while.
Sweet, and then it became code for somewhere else, didn't it?
Getting married.
Well, no, I thought radicalization.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Four Lions, mate. I've seen Four Lions. What a film that is, by the way.
Oh, amazing. But yeah, we're back.
We're so back. And apologies, but basically we just couldn't. I was so busy in December with, like, I had to take 2 weeks off the Damn Daniel podcast as well. Like, I was doing some days I was doing 4 gigs.
Wow.
Like, all through December. And then, so there was a couple of podcasts I had to fulfill. And I did podcasts in this room at 1 a.m. like just to get them done. Like, I was fucked. And then obviously COVID was a nightmare. And then had Christmas.
I suppose it was hard for you. Well, I suppose it was hard for all stand-ups in that, like, you at that point you probably didn't know what was going to happen in January.
Nah, so I was working like proper,
taking everything.
Just grabbing.
Yeah,
because I didn't know.
It's like that. What's that fable about collecting acorns?
Oh, I don't know. The one is that make hay while the sun shines. That was that one.
But I'm sure there's something like a grasshopper is like dancing and having a fun time during winter, whereas like another animal is like hoarding up like nuts.
Right.
And then he's like, "Why are you hoarding up nuts? Like, just have a dance."
Okay.
And like, no, you've got to. It's going to be a barren winter.
Is this,
and
is this an Asian fable?
No, it's one of yours. It's one
is
of your
it?
People.
Wow. I don't remember many fables.
It's one of your white ones.
Is it one of the white fables, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember them.
Talking about whites.
Yeah. Which ones, the good ones or the evil ones?
Well, I'll let you decide. What the fuck is going on with NFTs?
Mate, weirdly, I think it's mad pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
You want about John Terry?
I want about John Terry.
Oh my God, just, right. The thing is, I've never known a man with such a dearth. I never know what it is.
Dearth.
A dearth of self-awareness.
Completely.
Because I'm going to throw John Terry some bail here. A, he hasn't designed that.
Yeah.
B, I don't think it's racist just because if Will.i.am was the only one they did as an ape, I would be like, mate, they're all apes.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's gone, oh, mate, give him an afro.
Yeah.
The afro, but William has got an afro. I don't know. But the point is even if that is with all the best intention, I genuinely don't think no one's gone, yeah, let's do this for a laugh. I genuinely don't. I might be wrong. And I also don't think John Terry has got any graphic design capabilities to design that. That's not him.
No.
But whoever's gone, tweet that, and he's gone, yeah, like they should be like, you know, you just missed that one off. We're talking about a man with such a lack of self-awareness that he had a kit on under his suit so he could celebrate. Like, it's so mad to think that someone, even if it's not him, because it might, I don't even know whether he runs his own Twitter. But whoever it is, be it him or someone else, to go, yeah, that'll be fine. No one will have any issues with that. Like, I wouldn't even tweet that. And I've not been racist high profile.
Well, publicly.
Yeah.
No, but you are 100% right, because it's about the self-awareness. Because the thing is, like, if it was, because obviously it was meant to be William, if he had tweeted it, and and sort of like the graphic artist who produces them sent it to him and he tweeted it. And then John Terry was the one that sort of quote tweeted it and did the whole like evangelical thing they're doing at the moment where like, oh yes, we move. Like this is part of the movement. Like, do you know what I mean? All these buzzwords coming out with that would kind of be much better because it would be coming from William. But it's that lack of self-awareness. It's like, I know it's a little bit more trivial one, but like, do you know the whole like thing with like Robbie Fowler and like where like he was at the touchline sort of like with his celebration?
Sniffing the line. Yeah.
If now there was like some kind of NFT where there was like, I don't know, like baking powder all over the character's face.
Yeah.
He'd have a second where he'd think, anyone else post this, it's fine.
Did you see my last retweet on Twitter, by the way? Is that why you said that?
No.
Oh, Pusha T's new album cover is that, I think.
Is it something to do with lions? Oh, that's mad.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that kind of thing of like, it's just massively unfortunate stroke stupid that it always happens to be, it's always John Terry. Like what an unfortunate man that these things keep on happening to him.
No, he's a prick, that's why.
Yeah.
No, he's obviously a prick though. And you'll probably edit that out.
No, I won't.
Oh, you won't edit that out? Me calling John. But and even if he's not a prick, he's the thickest man that's ever existed. But I think he's a prick. But Brian Clough or Fergie could tweet that and it would be fine. Ron Atkinson couldn't.
Yeah.
Because there's other stuff that corroborate. Basically, his past has made him, there's no benefit of the doubt now. If me or you had tweeted that, people would have gone, no, that doesn't fit in with the character that. He's not meant that like that. It's just stupid. But with him, you're like, there's that, oh, well, maybe he did. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
Is that people need to go, you can't tweet that. But NFTs in general, I don't know what they are. It looks like a pyramid scheme.
This is the thing. Like I was half hoping that you could almost be devil's advocate to me because, like, I think it's ludicrous. But I almost want somebody. Like, no one will convince me that it's anything other than a sham. But like, I just need someone to almost like give me a reason for why they exist and why it's not incredibly embarrassing.
But people have made money out of it. But people did make money out of Juice Plus. People have made money out of Arbonne makeup. But not the people you see on your Facebook.
Okay, say you're a graphic designer. Say you're an artist.
Yeah.
Like before NFTs, you were still making money off your brilliant designs.
Yeah.
But like, this is just a different way of making money out of it.
Basically, the way I understand it is this is gentrification of digital art.
Right.
As opposed to gentrification of art, which has already happened, right? Rich people used to buy art and then the price. Look at Banksy, for example.
Yeah.
This is essentially digital Banksy by the looks of it. So whereas we're all going now, it's just a fucking ape with a hat on. And a hoop earring. Or it's just an ape that looks like Robbie from EastEnders. People were going, that's just a stencil on a wall of a kid holding a balloon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but the difference is that's there and I can touch it.
Yeah, I suppose that kind of fits in a way because, like, you had a ludicrous situation where Banksy would do that on a wall in a particular sort of part of the town. And what some sort of council sort of people would do is they'd break off that piece of wall.
It happened last recently,
right,
in Lowestoft.
Right.
So they put, so he did like a seaside edition of, like, he went to loads of places. And one of them was Lowestoft, and it was a kid making a sandcastle with a crowbar or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was on like this old AV shop, like this old, you know, those tele repair shops and that.
Yeah.
That you're like, and he just fucking boxed it off straight away. He's cut the wall out and he sold it for 2.5 million, apparently.
Fuck.
Or he sold it and it could reach 2.5 million or 2 million. But everyone then in the town's like, that should have stayed in the town because that brings people in.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's on my wall. And I get it because I agree that it should stay in the town and it should bring people in. But I also agree that's my wall. And if Banksy really cared about bringing people into the town and not having people profit, he'd have done it on the town hall,
yeah,
or a government building that couldn't be broken away.
I'm just imagining me going to the mosque, leaving my shoes out, and somebody sort of like sticking, like encrusting it with diamonds, and then me thinking, right, I'm taking those home and selling them, rather than just leaving them in the mosque.
But you do that, right?
What?
They're your shoes.
Yeah, yeah, but it's that thing of like, oh, these need to be sort of left here for society because
the
like...
The thing is though, right, this is how cynical I am. That's me, and I'm thinking, well, what'll probably happen there is the mosque man will have a better car in a year, or the church man,
yeah,
or
yeah,
the council
yeah.
man, because it'll never really get filtered back. They're yeah. not going to... They're not going to improve the roads in Lowestoft because Banksy's done a thing
No.
The mayor's just going to be richer. So I'm like, well, fuck it. Why can't I make the money? Someone's going to make the money. What you could do there, Noz, if you really cared, you could sell them and then donate to charity.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I would do if I really cared.
Rather than giving the responsibility to be generous to other people.
Who aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
Because we've shown like that doesn't happen. Nothing filters down, does it really?
No. There's no trickle down economics.
No. Trickle down into people's pockets. But in terms
of these apes and these things, like who are the main footballers that are really pushing the NFT thing? There's John Terry, there's Jack Wilshere.
Ashley Cole was one of them.
Ashley Cole. Willian, I assume, is involved.
Willian Borges.
Yeah. Nigel
de Jong.
Didn't what's his name? Mahrez try and do a Muslim one? No, he tried to sort of advertise a Muslim cryptocurrency.
Oh, really?
The first he kind of did a tweet with like an animation saying, "Oh, I am so proud to sort of present the first Muslim cryptocurrency." It's like, what? How the fuck is that Muslim? Like, loads of people got on his back and he deleted it straight away.
But is there a way to make it Muslim though? Like, because. What I mean is, like, maybe because people think that buying crypto is gambling.
Yeah.
So maybe he's done it in such a way where Muslims can invest in crypto and not be
possibly. But it just seemed
haram.
It just seemed like a bit of a con, and he deleted it. So like he couldn't have been that sort of entrenched in the sort of theological sort of belief of it.
I mean, I don't get. I'm not really. In with the Muslim footballer hierarchy and stuff, but when you said that about Mahrez, then the only thing I could think of was Mane wouldn't have done that.
No.
Mane seems like the best one.
Yeah.
Like he's there with his mop and bucket and that helping out.
Mane is so cool.
He seems like a good dude, man.
Just sort of like, he just seems like a guy who's, and again, like.
He'd have sold his jewel slippers.
He would have.
Then give everything back to charity.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally like he's practically done that. Like his sort of the jewel slippers in this case is his football talent, and what he's done is like he's invested it in schools and he's invested it in sort of like
not over here though. I bet it all goes back home.
Isn't that funny? And like when there's like children in need of comic relief, they always have the sort of bit where it's abroad, but they always then sort of like say, but we do stuff over here as well.
Yeah, because they had to. Because your dad was fucking whinging about it. Calling Lenny Henry a traitor and that. Oh, we love our women.
He'll have our comedy icons.
Yeah, he'll have our women. She's got an earth French. I'll watch English and Saunders.
But Neymar's another one who's big in it.
He's big in what? His sister?
No, NFT.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
His sister as well, but yeah. Like if you go on Neymar's
Instagram. He's like advertising like poker games. He's like getting his paper while he can because
he's
gonna be done at 32, and he's not arsed. I think.
I've not even thought about this, but can we pivot onto Brazilian footballers that I think personally, if you ask me, I think they've got a really healthy attitude towards football, whereas they want to enjoy life as well.
Yeah, but people think that's
a weakness.
Yeah, like I'd rather be Ronaldinho than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm.
I'd rather be Ronaldo than Ronaldo.
Who's your man who is at Inter Milan after Ronaldo, after Brazilian Ronaldo?
Oh, Adriano.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's different. That one, I think, because he had some. Like issues with addiction and gambling and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Because he was really good for a while, wasn't he?
I don't know. I think what's weird about... I think Adriano was obviously a great player. He was a good player. But because he had 99 shot on Pez,
yeah,
I think that's like blew up his legend almost.
Is it?
Yeah. He was almost like a better Akinfenwa, where the legend of him is like better than the actual player. I'm sure he was a good player.
Yeah.
But he was probably as good as Lukaku.
Right.
He might not have even been as good as Lukaku.
Yeah.
But it is weird. And I don't even know, Noz, whether... I know what you're saying about the Brazilian... You're saying basically they burn bright and they don't last.
Well, that, but also, like what you said about Neymar, like he will retire at this age. I think fair fucks if that's what Harry wants to spend his life.
Yeah.
It's not always about your football legacy if you want to enjoy your life.
Totally. But also there's something to be said about Brazilian players peaking at 25 and being finished by 30.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying. I was going to contradict myself because, like, normally you would attribute that to lifestyle. Like Ronaldinho, for example. Original Ronaldo. But Kaká did that. And he's, like, pure Christian.
Yeah.
Boring. Didn't drink.
Yeah.
But he was done by 30.
Why was that?
I don't know. This is what I mean. Maybe it's a Brazilian thing. Maybe it's because... Do you know people say Michael Owen didn't last as long because he was... And Rooney,
because
they were in a team, but they were playing first men's football at 16. Maybe like Brazil, because these kids start at 5 and they're playing in the streets forever. And like, maybe it's that. Like, Pato is another one.
Yeah, but I suppose the difference seeing someone like Kaká and like players like Adriano and Ronaldinho is like, as far as I'm aware, like the difference from Kaká and those other places, that Kaká had a really middle-class upbringing.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, but he was still done at 30.
You still think he played loads of games?
No, I don't know. I just don't know whether it's a Brazilian thing where you're just done at 30. Other than, like, obviously, there's outliers. Like, Cafu played till he was, like, 30-10.
Yeah.
And Bobby C as well played late. Yeah. Maybe, but then again, what's weird is this. There might be something to be said in this. Like, Al Dayer, by the way, that's the best tweet I've ever done. And no one picked... Did you see that tweet?
When did you do it? I don't know.
I put, who's the most stubborn defensive partnership?
Go on.
And it was Al Dayer and Clint Hill.
Al Dayer on this... Very good.
Al Dayer on this hill. Like, two people, like, appreciated it.
Yeah.
I thought I'd get the retweet off Sinner.
Right.
Sometimes I do tweets that are quite niche but clever. And
is that the Holy Grail?
Yeah, I just try and get a retweet off Paul Sinner. So, like, I did one once, and I did it on the pod, and I said, I'm just going to put... I was like, I'm going to tweet this now, and I'm going to... And I got the retweet off Sinner.
Right.
And it was the actor with the highest ceiling is Zenith Branagh.
Very good.
And, it got the old retweet off Sinner. But I thought I'll die on this hill... But it might have been too... You know what? It was probably too clever for Sinner.
Yeah.
The Beast might have retweeted it.
The Beast. I like The Beast.
Do you?
Yeah. I like it. To be honest, I don't watch those shows.
They are the best show. Yeah. I wish that they were on at more sociable times for me.
Yeah. Are they in the, like, Neighbours Home and Away slot?
Yeah, but what I mean by that is, like, I'd fucking love it if I got home from a gig at 1 o'clock and, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on.
Yeah.
Or, like... Pointless and that.
You'd be good at quizzes, I think.
I am quite good at, because I know a lot of shit that you don't really need to know.
Are you good at, did you ever do pub quizzes?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't like the culture.
I like pub quizzes, but not people who go to pub quizzes.
I don't like the culture of the pub quiz.
Why?
I don't like that. There's a lot of, like, this is our seat sort of shit.
Right, yeah. Oh, we've been coming every week. Who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. And there's a lot of wacky names for the, you know, the wacky names.
Yeah.
Quiz Akabusi and that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quiz on my face. Quizzy rascal.
In terms of puns, you do like a good pun. Mm. Have you ever had a good fantasy team pun?
No,
name?
But I did do I thought of an Edinburgh show title that I couldn't use, that I'd give to Marlon Davis.
Go on.
which was emotional blackmail.
Oh, that is good. That sounds, not only is that good, but that sounds award winning.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
It sounds like he'll open up as well.
I put it out to tender as well. I text like, text Marlon and Dane and what, did Nathan.
Did you go on the black comedian friends of WhatsApp?
No. I was just like, look, lads, I've thought of this and it's dead good. You can have it if you want it.
And it was first come, first serve.
I think so. They like, it's a good title, and they're mates. They knew it came from a place of love. I wasn't
Oh yeah, of course.
You lot should use this. Like, it's not. I'm not that guy. No. And also, I genuinely don't think you can beat Murder on Zidane's Floor. I just think that's the best. That's the
who did that?
I don't know.
Oh, right.
But it's like a that's the Quizzy Rascal of fantasy football league teams.
I had a shit one where. This is years and years ago because I don't play fantasy football, but like on purpose I picked Andy Thorne so I could have the boy with the thorn in his side.
Oh, that's good though.
I know, but it's contrived, isn't it? It's working backwards. It's trying too hard.
Well, I've got a little story to tell you now.
Go on.
And I'm probably going to get laughed out the gig, but there's a comedian, I won't name his name, and he's got a claim. And he's been going long enough, and it's not, you can refute it, but it's not outlandish that you could show the working out on this. So he claims that he invented the term face like a plasterer's radio, right?
Right.
Do you know what? Yeah. Right. So he claims that he invented that. And people are like, yeah, he could have. I genuinely think, and I said, I might not have. But I didn't rip this off. I thought of this individually, and somebody else might have already thought of it. But I think I was the first person to come up with the name Into Your Nan.
Right. And have you seen that subsequently?
Oh, it's everywhere.
Ah, right.
But we were going to call our six-a-side team that years ago.
Right.
And I hadn't seen it, and I did come up with it. Now, I'm not saying that I was the first to do that.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is I didn't see that anywhere.
No.
And if somebody says, oh, that was invented, you know, around 2000, 2001.
It was you.
Could have been.
Well, this is the thing. Like, but there's also a situation where people have the same inspiration separately.
Yeah. And also, don't get me wrong. It's not genius, is it? It's not
Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah, it's not I'll Die on This Hill.
But it's still good. I'm trying to think who the comedian, because they'd have to be of a certain age, because that's not new. Can I guess?
You won't know him, I don't think.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
I'll tell you who it is. Andre Vincent.
All right, okay. It's a good line.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Yeah. But I don't know if it's.
Is there any off the top of your head? Is there any sort of like gags or puns that fellow comedians done that you thought, oh, fuck, that's good?
That would be
right up your street.
I wish I was the first person to come up with the gag where. So there's a gag where. The joke is that you wouldn't watch Anal Sluts 4 because you haven't seen the other three.
Right.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And now it's not. It's old and it's probably hack. But the first person to come up with that, that's a great joke, that.
Yeah.
Because he's probably said it in passing. And they've gone, oh, have you seen fucking... Backdoor Slut 6, and he's like, nah, I haven't seen the other five, I won't know what's going on.
I actually thought of your comedy this morning, because did you see the tweet that Jim retweeted this morning?
Maybe.
It was retweeting a video that a comic had done. Somebody Brush?
Peter Brush. Pierre Broom.
Who's
Pierre Brosh, that's what it'd be.
Whose dad apparently was a footballer.
Won the FA Cup.
Oh, cool.
Paul Brush.
But it was a really good gag where I don't want to bastardize it or anything, but basically it was taking the idea of like an armist, like a peaceful game of football during war.
Right. Yeah.
It was it was kind of a riff on that, but it was one of those gags, and you do these kind of gags where you set it up and you pause and then you wait for the audience to get it before you say it.
Yeah.
That's what he, and then he said it, and then everyone burst out laughing. But like the famous one of yours with that is like Uncle Rasputin.
Oh yeah.
Where like it gets to a point where like people are then sort of laughing because they've already thought it in their head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just amazing.
Let them do that. That's the comedy equivalent of letting them sing the line in and it was all, and then you put the mic out. Yellow.
Wouldn't that be amazing to do?
I saw Tom Stade do it. It's fucking brilliant. I saw Tom Stade do his Meat Van routine in Crewe, and they asked for it, and he was doing it, and he was like, you know the routine, right?
Which one is it?
It's called the Meat Van routine. It's about, he's explaining what happens at Bilston Market where there's, as a Canadian, he couldn't get his head around a man selling meat out of a van and everyone getting involved, right? So he's got this line where it's like, I don't know why... I'm bad at accents, by the way. But there's something about a man selling meat at the back of a van.
Oh, I think I heard it.
Yeah. That gets you lot buzzing round like... And he stopped and everyone in the room in his accent went, flies. And it was fucking brilliant. It was a gig. It doesn't exist anymore. It was called the M Club in Crewe.
Yeah.
It was run by the dudes that run Nantwich Civic Hall, which is, if you like comedy and you're in mid-Cheshire, you should go to. It's a great gig.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant, and it's the closest I've ever seen. Because I hate that, like, and I missed it as well. But I hate that, like, comedy is the new rock and roll bullshit. Because it's not; it's better than that. But that's the closest I've seen to that being an actual thing. Flat. It was fucking great.
You're gigging with him later this week, aren't you,
Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, on Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you want to come?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, I'll have to check whether I'm free. But I was actually gonna ask Jim if he fancied going, because there's you, there's him, and there's somebody else who's really good on that same lineup.
I just took a picture of you because another person has just messaged me and said, "When's Della Gold coming?"
Is it
back?
Is it flattering?
Yeah, you look great.
Do I look like an Asian Dale boy?
Patel boy.
Patel.
Deli boy.
Deli boy. And we're back.
Yeah, we're so back right now. I need to run a bit by you as well. Well, I've done it loads anyway. It's not racist, but I have to do the accent.
Oh, right.
It's a true story. I was doing a gig in Scotland, and they told me if I go to the kebab shop not to speak English, because if they heard my English accent, they'd batter me. So I ordered burger and chips in an Indian accent.
Right.
I did. and I kept my face.
But I think the funny thing about an Asian accent is like, and I think with any accent, in fairness, is that if you're the more specific you are, the more people think it's all right and it's not racist. Do you get me?
What do you mean?
As in, If you did an Asian accent with me now, and like you were telling an anecdote about some Asian guy, and you did the whole bud bud ding ding kind of accent, that would be more racist than you doing a really specific accent about. Do you get me? Do you know what I mean? Like doing the specific.
Yeah, mine was a bud bud ding ding accent. I don't even. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say it.
But I do say that, like, I couldn't even do the accent, and it sounded like an old racist BBC sitcom accent.
But again, like, we're going off tangent. But this is the
no,
thing
that's with, what we do here. We don't.
This is the thing with comedy.
Is that football?
Yeah, this is the thing with comedy, isn't it? That like that's why you should never clip up somebody else a bit of somebody else's acts, because you're not in the environment. You don't know the work they've done to get to that point, to get the sort of. Create the environment where people know they're not being racist or know that they're sort of like they're not poking fun at that individual, they're poking fun at themselves, etc. Do you know what I mean? It's that thing, so you should never sort of like just pick a bit out and say, oh my god,
I'll bring this back round now. So what's mad is that like European players, they continue to be able to do it Indian accents like well into their 30s, but Brazilian players, they sort of lose the ability to do the accent around 30. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
Maybe it's because they've been doing the accents from young, since they was like, you know, street accents. And maybe that's why they lose that ability earlier, even though at their peak, they're probably better at the accents.
Do you know?
They do them with more flair.
Do you know what that is applicable to? Scandinavians.
What
they lose their accents.
When they come over here?
Yeah, more than any other sort of like part of the world.
I love it.
Like you'll get like Jan Mulby turning into a proper Scouser.
I could listen to Jan Mulby all day. And Solskjaer.
Solskjaer, yeah.
Oh, remember when we used to like think that he was shit?
Halcyon days, where like...
There's a lot of people with like need to say like not sorry, but you weren't as bad as we thought. No. It was obviously not like, I mean, he was shit, but he wasn't as shit as people thought.
Well, also, there's a lot to be said. If your experience and your sort of tactical sort of acumen is limited, there's a lot to be said for still making a chaotic situation workable, which yeah. I think is what he kind of did.
That's a good shout. We don't talk about United on this podcast. That one guy.
Have you almost sensed a bit of nostalgia about the Solskjaer era?
No, I just think that, you know, when people were like, oh, he's shit and he's got no redeeming features, but people aren't talking to the press, people aren't rowing, people aren't crying because they've been substituted. And then he goes and all that's happening. I think it just went to show that although he wasn't good enough on the pitch, he was actually doing something.
Yeah.
Which is why I think, and this is just because I am a romantic, nostalgic fool.
Yeah.
I would have loved Rangnick to come in with Solskjaer.
Right. Well, almost like a director above him or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or someone just to help him out coaching.
Yeah.
Because what's mad about this whole thing is that he left and all the coaches left.
Yeah.
So if they were going to leave anyway, fuck them off and get some good ones in. But apparently he didn't. He was too nice and he didn't want to fuck McKenna off and that. I don't know. Anyway.
What about feeling sort of just keeping quiet and
no?
About?
But apparently there is a he does a job feeling.
In what way?
So I read or heard that he like if the players have got an issue, he deals with that.
Right.
Like if I don't know what like. If they're going to be late to training, they'll ring Phelan and say, oh, I'm 10 minutes late, Mike. Like, he's almost like a...
Good cop.
Yeah, like a player liaison almost, right. I think. I don't know. That might be bullshit.
I think...
But he's not coaching. Where's he ever coached? He's not a coach.
I think Brian Kidd, both at Manchester United and City, did that.
Yeah, I think Phelan is like City Kidd.
Right.
Because what can Kidd do at City?
Yeah.
Coaching wise, you got the best coach ever.
Yeah. Give Pep some pointers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but it's mad that all that, like, who's City's assistant manager?
He's a guy who.
Who is he though? What's his name?
I can't remember.
Exactly. You don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But he's obviously good.
Yeah.
And the fact that I know every single one of United's coaches and how shit they are is just mad. But anyway, we don't talk about United on this. Sheffield United. Let's talk about them.
I mean, just obviously sort of like...
Oh, by the way, we have got another 2 months off after this. Why Noz has a go at being Watford boss.
Yeah, because it's my turn.
Yeah, mate, that's so it's like jury duty, isn't it? The Watford job.
You get called up.
You get a little bit. You get a little bit. And then you get fucked straight off.
Yeah, you can do it. As long as you've done it once in your life, you don't have to do it again. You don't get called up after that.
It's like going out with Pete Davidson. It's just like everyone gets a little go at it.
Yeah, there was that time where Ariana Grande was double booked for both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although, to be honest, the Watford chairman would probably think she was an Italian manager. So we'd get her in. Oh, Ariana, have we had him? Didn't he manage Pescara? No, that's Mascara. She put Mascara on. Fucking, I don't. But it's there. It's what they do, isn't it?
It is. It's their thing. It's mad, though. Like, it's properly mad. Like, people make all the jokes. Like, when Ranieri came in, people make all the jokes, and it just comes true. It just happens.
Yeah, you may as well live on a barge if you're a Watford manager and just stay outside the ground and then just fuck off.
So, say
something. Well, if they stay up, though.
Yeah, it's worked. Well, the same argument could be made in a different way, maybe not as extreme, but Chelsea. Like, everyone says that they change the manager too often, but they're successful.
Yeah, they're the most successful side this century.
Yeah.
In Britain. Well, in England.
But, so Watford, what do you think is going through Roy Hodgson's head at the moment? Like, he's agreed to join. What is he thinking? Is he thinking I'm going to be there for,
he's
there
probably
for a while?
Thinking, do you know what? I've got an holiday booked in June. I'll get some spends. Do you know when you take that little, when you're a kid and when you're younger and you book the holiday and you're like, oh, I'll do a Saturday job for spends. He's doing Watford for spends, mate. That's all it is.
The worst thing that could ever happen for Roy Hodgson is like in June, they're like, yeah, you can carry on. It's like, what the fuck?
I'm going to Falaraki. I'm going to Falaraki with Kurbishley and Warnock. I can't.
I mean, we joke, but that is absolutely plausible that he's thinking, I'm semi-retired. This isn't going to be a long gig.
Yeah.
I'll just do it for a bit and get a bit of money and enjoy myself, be on telly for a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Miss it, keep me hand in. Yeah.
Didn't he?
He's like one of them old fellas that goes just, oh, you know, he's retired, but he'll still do a shift at B&Q. Because his missus is doing his head in. And you can't do much gardening in February. It's cold, isn't it?
And he likes answering questions about what nail to use.
Yeah, exactly. He'll show you where the screws are in. He won't just tell you the aisle.
Follow me.
You'll follow Hodgson. You'll follow Hodgson to the architrave, mate, because he'll know where that is. And he'll want to talk to you about architrave on the way round. I love Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. And also, right, I've got respect for, in the same way I had for, like, Bobby Robson. Like, he fucked off and managed Switzerland and into Milan. Yeah. And this is what I hate. Like, it's weird how, like, Britain's Brexit attitude, like, has always been through ever, like, football.
Yeah.
And when I first saw Owen Hargreaves, right, and I first saw him playing for England under 21s, I know who the fuck he was. And I was so surprised that an England player played abroad. I knew that there was Platt and that. Platt was like the first one. I missed Lineker and Hughes when I was, yeah. I was a bit too young for that. So Platt was like the first one and then Ince.
Yeah.
And it was so mad. And then I saw Owen Hargreaves and I was like, what, he's English and he's come through someone else's academy? And then Sancho did it and now Bellingham's done it. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And when Mika Richards went to Fiorentina, I know it didn't work out, but I'm like, fucking fair dues, man.
Wasn't Eric Dier as well?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where I thought Eric Dier, and it's more because of his name as well, it could be a foreign name.
Yeah.
I thought, like, his mum might be Portuguese or something.
Right.
I didn't know the score
do you,
there.
Do you know who I thought was foreign? And I don't know why. It's the guy who everyone's talking about at Wolves, Max Kilman.
Yeah.
I didn't realise he was English.
I always thought he was a murderer.
Yes, what a name, Max Kilman.
I know. Not even his sister's less of a murderer. She's called Minnie Kilman. Min Kilman.
Max Kilman. Amazing.
United have been
amazing.
Linked with him.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's bullshit,
yeah.
though, that. It's just basically like, because he's come out and said Wan-Bissaka's shit.
But it's funny how there's certain players that as soon as they're linked to a bigger club, their sort of status zooms upwards. It's happened with Max Kilman now, but it happened with Bowen. Do you know Bowen at West Ham?
Yeah.
Ever since he was sort of like linked to Liverpool, obviously didn't sign for them, but ever since people have almost sort of elevated him to being a better player than they thought he was, just because like Klopp might have liked him.
Well, what's weird though, because like my mate's a Hull fan, and he was like, Bowen is really good.
Right.
Someone should sign Bowen. Like United should sign Bowen because they might end up signing. And he said the same about Maguire, you know.
Right.
He was like, if someone doesn't sign him now, they'll end up signing him for stupid money, like 50 million. And like, little did he know
that
wasn't even the stupidest money. Yeah, he said it a few times. Like this kid, he said it with Robertson.
Right.
It's weird though that, look, like, they've shifted on. They haven't really benefited, but if they had sell-on clauses, Hull might be better off. Like, the percentage of the 80 million Maguire, Robertson, if he left Liverpool, is a £50 million player at least. Bowen will probably cost you 50 million now if you tried to buy him from West Ham. Is he English, Bowen?
Yeah, I think so. I wonder what it is about...
I thought he might be Welsh.
I wonder what it is about Hull that sort of... That meant that they're good at it.
I don't know.
It's not as if they've got a natural catchment or anything.
No, I think it was their, at the time, their scout. You just really need a good scout, don't you? Look at Leicester. Like, that's where, like, United's such a dinosaur club in the fact that they still think they can do that Rio Ferdinand bully stuff where you can go and pick the best player. But you can't, because the TV money now means that Leicester don't need to sell. Palace don't need to sell.
Do you know what I find funny about United is that for many years, out of all the scouts in the whole world, the best scout that they could have as head of scout
Fergus brother.
Was Fergus' brother.
Well, that wasn't the best one, was it? Let's be honest.
Fergie, like, if you look at it,
say what
like,
you want, he loved a bit of nepotism.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He had his son. His one son was a player. Another son was an agent who he allegedly tried to get youth players to sign for.
Yeah.
His brother was a scout. I don't know what...
Kathy.
I wonder what she was up to.
No wonder he knew the tea lady.
I know, yeah. He's
married to her.
He's so down to earth, he knows them all.
He knows them all, yeah, because he fucking sees them all on Christmas Day, that's why.
That's his lift home.
Oh, man. Have you watched any AFCON?
Bits and pieces, but not as much. You're proper into it, aren't you?
I don't, what's weird is like, I don't watch the games. Well, I haven't watched the game. I do love, do you know what the best thing about AFCON is, right? Yeah. Apart from, I think it's great, right? It's the best kits in any tournament, right? Yeah. The kits are always fire. And I've got a little, I don't know whether it's because I'm historically a United fan, but I'll always have a bit of love. I mean, I'd never wear any of the gear, but I've got a lot of love for Umbro kits.
Yeah.
And weirdly, there's loads of Umbro kits in the AFCON.
Oh, is it? I thought it was mostly Puma.
There's Puma and Umbro. And there's so many good kits, mate.
What do you like in particular?
Just all of them, but I can't wear them in the same way that I couldn't wear that Nigeria top.
I like
cultural appropriation, innit?
Ethiopia. They've got a red one. I think it might be the third kit. That's nice.
Did you see that picture I sent you of that Comoros kit?
Yeah.
So until they beat...
That's amazing.
Who did they beat? They beat some... Ghana. They beat Ghana. Yeah. They knocked Ghana out. And until then, their biggest achievement was wearing a kit so fake it had an Adidas and an Umbro badge on it. We'll put it on the on the Twitter. It was amazing. By the way, thoughts are with everyone in that mad stampede. At the time of writing, there's 8 people dead.
Yeah. But also, don't know the exact details, but like automatically, I'm always suspicious where words like stampede are used, because that almost makes you think that it's sort of like the fans caused it. Whereas, like,
also this part, right? And you might need to edit this out. But there was part of me that was genuinely like, have they used the word stampede because it's Africa?
Yeah, I don't think we need to edit that out. But like, it could be
because they would use like over here. I definitely think they'd use like crush, or something. But have they used stampede because of fucking Lion King?
It might be subconscious or something. But
yeah,
like,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, it goes back to that thing of like
fucking
of like that John Terry thing of like just think.
Yeah,
just think like.
Don't use
like,
the word stampede.
Yeah, but also like just generally like I don't like it where the first instinct is again maybe subconsciously but like almost suggest. That it was like the fault of a mass group of fans rather than organisation and stuff.
Also,
like that.
As well, it's that horrible thing, and it happens too much.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be sounding like a fucking like a right on white saviour here, but it's animalistic. A stampede, it's what animals do, and it's like when you watch AFCON. I didn't bring this up because the worst thing about AFCON is the commentary when it's everything's about he's such a beast.
Yeah.
So power and pace. Oh, and it's like, mate, are we still doing this?
Have you noticed that this one?
Yeah.
Well? Right. I think, right, and again, like, it's a difficult one, but on the one hand, I'm glad that Sky are covering it because, like previous tournaments, like, I wanted to watch it, but it's been on some random channel that I've not got or whatever. So I'm glad that Sky are covering it, but... Why have they just got the commentator and no halftime analysis, no co-commentator?
Yeah, it's like, it's the same. And I'm not like, well, maybe I am equating it because maybe it's in the same ballpark in their heads. Women's football, the other day, some poor cunt had to commentate. Because I like women's football. I've said it on here before. I watch it a lot. I like the WSL loads. And I watch United v Villa.
Yeah.
And the whole game was one guy chatting.
Yeah.
no co-commentator. It was on the FA player. And it, to the point where this poor... We've all done them gigs where you look at your watch, you've got to do 20, you look at your watch and you've done six.
Yeah.
And you've done 40 minutes worth of material. So he's chatting about TikTok.
Fucking hell.
So he's like, oh, one of the players has got a really big TikTok following. If you don't know, TikTok is like, it's like Instagram and Facebook where...
Goes on a big sort.
Yeah, because he has to fill instead of someone going, him going, oh, well, so-and-so about this. What do you think about this?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's bad. But I think that's almost more understandable if it is something like FA player where maybe they've not got
it's
like...
the FA?
Yeah, true. No,
if
true.
You care. That's the whole thing about United's women's team.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to try and be the best team in the world? If you are, fucking prove it. If not, fuck it off.
Yeah.
And it's the same. If you're covering it, cover it properly or put it on YouTube and I'll watch it later.
Yeah.
If you don't care.
Well, I think Jackie Oatley sort of made the same point as you, where she was saying
Jackie
like,
Goatley, mate. She was like the original, like she was the first woman that I ever heard on like Match of the Day. I think she was the first.
I think I remember on Radio 5.
Right, I think she was the first woman commentator. Yeah, I think so.
But she's
very much the Sean Massey.
Yeah, a pioneer.
Mm.
No, but she made the point of like. Of like, where's your sort of pundits on the touchline? Where is your halftime? Like, what is happening? Like, why aren't you covering it properly?
Yeah.
Incident. Funnily enough, I think she made a point recently about it, but she the point she was making was that, funnily enough, like Manchester United, their sort of in-house channel do it better than some sort of other channels.
Because well, that's self-serving, isn't it?
Yeah, at least they have some pundits, at least they have people discussing it.
Like, it genuinely wouldn't surprise me, knowing Man United, that the whole reason they brought this women's team back was content for their own channel.
Yeah.
Because that's what United is now. It's a content provider.
Yeah.
They're not a football team. They don't give a fuck about winning.
Yeah.
Views and clicks is what they care about. Here's a question that I'm definitely just doing... to cause ruckus and be devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But you know, there's this clamour now, and rightly so, to have inclusivity on like Match of the Day and stuff.
Yeah.
Would it not be better for Alex Scott and Karen Carney and people to be like, let's make this good as well? So this is devil's advocate, because I don't believe, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Could it be argued that Alex Scott, etc., and I just mean those people that we see now, and rightly so, have they turned their back on the women's game by trying to be on the men's game?
Right, I get what you mean. Because
it's all right moaning about the women's coverage, but you are so high profile now that if you could be women's football's Gary Lineker and really raise this up.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
No. It's a bad point, but I mean, I suppose the question there would be: have they stopped doing the women's? Are they just doing the men's and not doing the women's?
Well, anymore? I haven't seen them on it for ages,
right? Because the thing is that that you're right. Because like although they are brilliant at sort of covering the men's game, they've got so much experience of the women's game.
This
as
is
well,
what I mean
of like playing through it and sort of like being a player in it.
And I am just being devil's advocate there. I'm not for one second saying they shouldn't be on, because I think Alex Scott is brilliant.
Yeah,
and I think I'd much rather listen to Emma Hayes.
Oh, she's really
than
good,
probably all but about three male pundits.
Yeah, the great thing I find about her is she is like loads of. Pundits waste words. They're just filling time. They're saying bullshit, and they're saying a lot of things. You know, she will come out with one or two sentences that are just really perceptive that you've not thought of as just watching TV. And that's what essentially when I'm watching the TV, I don't want to be told what I already know.
I
want to learn something else. That's why, funnily enough, like for all these faults, on the few occasions where Mourinho's been a pundit, he's actually been really interesting.
Yeah,
because he said a few things that you wouldn't have thought of.
You need that mix, don't you? You need like one of them, and you need like a Micah Richards, and a
fun.
Roy Keane.
Yeah, he's a laugh.
Who's like, who feels like, oh, he's a bit like me, because nothing gets you in the feels more than like when you go, oh, footballers are human. You know, like everyone was wanking off because Kieran Tierney had a Tesco bag.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, whoa, he's just like us. Or when we mentioned Mane before, when they saw his cracked phone screen. Do you remember that? Yeah. Everyone's like, whoa, footballers can drop their phones. So you need a little bit of that sort of like. Levels you up with them,
yeah,
and then a little bit like, whoa, no, actually, these are well more knowledgeable than us.
Yeah,
Because you don't want to feel like you're not in the into the party, but also you want to feel like you're learning something.
Yeah. But yeah, like, but again, like, I personally enjoy Monday Night Football because there's a few things that they'll discuss in there that I think, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's why. Because like sometimes, for instance, you'll watch a game and you'll kind of think, why are they just attacking down the left? Like use the other flank, but then you realize
Wan-Bissaka's on the right. Fucking hell, man. Put your ears on your rim.
Can I suggest something?
Is it me sit up straight?
Is this certain? Do you know, like, Wan-Bissaka is seen as a defender who's a really good man, like a one-on-one defender, but he's perhaps not the best overall footballer.
Yeah.
Do you think that these forwards who are great at scoring goals or doing very specific things, but overall as a footballer, they're not brilliant?
Bruno. Bruno's shit at football, I think. Like, I genuinely do.
Yeah.
Bruno's that guy. Do you know when, if he signed for Real Madrid, he'd go onto the pitch and he wouldn't be able to do 9 keepy ups. You know that. You know those guys.
Yeah.
I think he's that.
It's interesting. Like I'm not sure Guardiola would like him because he gives a ball.
He would hate him.
Yeah.
He's like, I hate the term street footballers, but I bet Bruno's been the best player in every team he's played in, from under twos all the way. He's like a good school player.
Yeah.
In the fact that, like, he'd be, do you know what, right? I think Bruno Fernandes would be so good in the late 90s. You know, before football was all like analytics and stuff. Eye test. Like, because you see him give the ball away, but you forget. And then you look at the stat, you're like, whoa, he's got like 13% pass completion.
Yeah.
And I know that he's going to give the ball away. Like, the players with the lowest pass completion is like De Bruyne and Messi. People don't see that, like, because they take risks.
Yeah.
But sometimes he can't play like a 2-yard pass.
Yeah.
And it is weird. I always thought Nani was like that. Like, Nani had pinged one in from 45 yards, but couldn't put a corner past the first man.
But then why is it? So on that specific thing, if you compare Nani and Bruno, like, why is it that, because Nani, as much as people nostalgically now have sort of said how much they love him, he got a lot of stick when he was playing because he did little things that were irritating. As much as he did brilliant things, he did little things that were irritating, like give the ball away or make mistakes or whatever. And Bruno does the same thing. Why did Nani get a load of stick for that and annoy people, but Bruno doesn't?
I think Bruno will.
All right. Do you think that it's changed? Like, I sense that the attitude towards Bruno has changed slightly.
Yeah, and I also think that's something to do with, like, so you know when Solskjaer was at United and people were like, oh, it's just individual brilliance.
Yeah.
What's weird about that is, like, no one says, oh, they're winning because of individual brilliance, but then they're not saying, oh, they're losing because of individual mistakes. Like, they were losing because the team was shit, but only winning because of individual. It can't be both. Anyway, I think now it's like, if you've got those robot players in now, haven't you? The players that seem to do things well. Like, I think there's a lot of things that have happened to make Bruno look a bit shit. One is, like, Rangnick's there now and he's very much like, this is what you all do. It's very theoretical. Yeah. You got Ronaldo, who's a robot that's put little, you know what I mean? He's done little wrong throughout his career. You've got Greenwood, who's come into the fore, he's like technically sound, one of the soundest footballers you'll see. Technically, like everything he does looks measured and perfect. And then Bruno's just, I think the thing with Bruno that annoys me is that he's able to do the hard stuff and not the easy stuff.
Right.
And that's the same with Nani. Like I said, you can ping one in. If you can ping one in from 40 yards, you technically should. Like, if you can make a souffle, you should be able to do cheese on toast.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so frustrating. And I only think it's because we look at, I'd like to know how opposite fans look at Bruno.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a City fan and you see that Bruno's suspended, are you glad? Or are you not? I don't know.
It's funny what you say about doing the simple things best, because, like, I can't remember which sort of I think there was some Michelin starred chef, and he was talking about, maybe it was, is it Michel Roux, is he one?
Yeah.
And basically, like, somebody asked him about sort of like when you're looking for like a good sous chef or somebody good to work in your sort of kitchen, what do you get them to cook? What do you look for? And I think he said the first thing I do is ask them to make scrambled eggs or something, or make an omelette or something.
Yeah.
Because it's such a simple thing, but I want to see how they do it.
Well, that's the 10-yard pass, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Brian Clough once said that the 10-yard pass is very much the scrambled eggs of football. I mean,
say I'm Michel Roux and I'm judging you, like what are your basic ingredients for good scrambled eggs? How would you make it?
I don't eat eggs.
You don't eat eggs?
No.
Why not?
Don't like them. I like Easter eggs and Haribo eggs.
Fucking hell.
Eggs are shit.
Eggs are great.
Nah, mate. Eggs are shit, mate.
I thought we were kindred spirits because I love mushrooms.
I love mushrooms
as
well.
Yeah, and I know you love mushrooms, so I thought we're on the same page.
You know where I don't eat mushrooms? In an omelette.
Why do you like it? Do you like eggs in any form?
I eat eggs when they're in egg fried rice.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, yeah, like I won't spit a cake out because there's egg in it. Do you know what I mean? Like... Oh, there's egg somewhere within this.
Give me that shit eggless cake over there.
Yeah.
That dry eggless cake.
Oh, that's a thing, isn't it?
Eggless cake, yeah.
Is that a Muslim thing?
No.
Oh, I thought it was. I read that. Because in a lot of Muslim bakeries, they do eggless cakes.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a thing because...
No, I don't think so.
Is there Muslims that don't eat eggs?
Unless you're allergic. I know in the... There's something about... The Jewish faith, and I think it's about something being perfectly kosher, is that they check for if there's any... can you sometimes get in eggs, get like little like blood spots or something?
I don't know.
I think if you're being strict kosher, like they individually check like eggs, like as in sort of like maybe through like the light or something, and then it's kosher. But yeah, like no, there's nothing Islamic there.
You can't eat snake eggs or turtle eggs. Haram, according to Google.
Right, snakes. I know that you're not meant to.
I don't think anyone's ever had fucking snake egg on toast.
But it's interesting about you not liking eggs because isn't that one of your insults? That's one of your go-to insults.
You egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, you big egg.
That makes sense now. What else do you not eat? That's
fish, cheese, and egg. That's the
fucking
trinity.
Hell! What is your life?
Chips.
Not even like fish fingers.
I can't believe that, like, out of all the nice fish you can eat,
your
go-to incredulence was that I don't eat fucking fish fingers.
But that's exactly it. I'm thinking of the most basic sort of unfishy fish product.
I don't eat fish. I don't like it. So fish. I wish I could eat fish. I've seen like people eat salmon and with like drizzled lemon on it and all that.
So fish. Bread, no, fish, eggs, and what else?
Cheese.
I eat
mozzie, though, because mozzie's not cheese, is it? It's like pizza glue, isn't it?
People sort of like, cheese is one of those things that people can't give up.
Yeah, I know. But so is smack, and it doesn't make it right.
I don't go fucking vegan.
I don't eat meat on a bone.
You don't? That's the tastiest.
Yeah, I don't eat.
That's so weird. It's so weird that you've got all these constraints on yourself.
That's my only Brexit view, is that I only really eat white meat. I don't eat any dark meat. Like, I have, like, fillet steak and I have to cut all the fat off and shit like that.
Right.
I wouldn't eat a drumstick.
But it's so weird that you've got all these constraints, but by all accounts, you are a good cook.
I am, yeah. Other things I...
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be a good chef because I couldn't eat the shit that I have to. I couldn't taste.
Do you know what I was Googling?
Fish soup.
Do you know what I was Googling the other day?
Don't want to know.
Not incognito, just like...
Ah, right, yeah.
It was if there's any halal Michelin-starred restaurants.
Oh, and is there?
I think it came up with a few options in the UK, but there were some abroad, but yeah, there's not many.
But are the Indian restaurants like? Are they... Is that...
I don't think... I'm not sure. I'll need to look into it more, but like... Well, you know me, like where is you just being fussy? The stuff I can't have, like even if I went to like a Michelin starred halal restaurant, like I can't have nuts, can't have mollusks and crustaceans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Can't have sesame seeds.
that is, you know, that's in my head, that's a big miss, that.
Sesame seeds? Because of burgers?
No, like a few sesame seeds on your noodles is really good.
Is it?
Do you struggle in Wagamama's? You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Because I've been to Wagamama's with you and you had to have the like...
I had Matrix
the
out.
Special,
the allergy Matrix.
Yeah, you had to have the special menu.
Not only the special menu, she comes out and she explains the menu to me. She explains the special menu to me.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
But you're allergic to grass.
Why?
I think that's the weakest one.
Allergic to grass?
Yeah, that's when you should give up in life. Like, we had a kid, there was a kid in my school, and he was allergic to everything, including grass.
When
and
are you
going like,
to eat
what?
Grass?
No, not eating it.
What? As in just being near it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
You puff up like fucking...
Can you imagine it? Can you imagine if you were like if you had the natural skill of like an Mbappe or something, but you were allergic to grass?
Yeah, but you'd be all right now because a lot of the football pitches are like artificial, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put who can't eat eggs. I'm sure there's like a faith that can't eat eggs. No. I don't know why I've made that up.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong because like... I can kind of understand where you're coming from because, like, there's a play because, like, sometimes when I'm ordering like a cake for like a family member, and it can just be a cake from anywhere, but like it needs to be done that day. Like, there's a place called Cake Box, No Spawn, who sort of like can do it really quickly. But they're
No Spawn.
They as in no sponsor. I'm not sort of like.
Oh, I thought you meant they don't give you a spoon.
But they happen to be eggless and they're Asian or Muslim, so I wonder.
There's a lot of Muslim eggless cakes. Right. I thought it was a thing, right. But it's obviously not.
No.
I wanted to talk about... Sorry, we got off AFCON.
Yeah, sorry.
And because we was on about... there's loads of patronising. So, you know, yesterday, at time of writing,
yeah,
Comoros played...
Cameroon.
Cameroon.
Really unlucky.
Yeah, but they had the substitute left-back in goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate that because, like, now people who don't know are like going, fucking hell, AFCON's mental, innit? Yeah. Look how stupid it is.
I
got the left back in goal. How AFCON?
I kind of felt that when people were taking piss out of that, you know, that goalkeeper, that referee who sort of blew up at 8.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I wish that had happened
it's
the worst
Euro. Thing to happen, yeah.
Yeah, because now everyone's just like, corruption in the AFCON.
Yeah.
It's the same with every celebration's a dance.
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh yeah, that only happens in AFCON.
That annoys me because like it's a difficult one to say because like you don't want to seem as if you're sort of like, and again, like you were saying about being like a white savior.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like a light brown savior or anything.
a beige savior.
But like, there's a part of me, and maybe this is me just being unreasonable, but there's a part of me. That there's certain black players and there's certain African players that I think people are saying nice things about, but in a really patronising way.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
To the point where I hope that one day, like, white players go and play in Africa and they get the same shit off he's got good feet for someone who probably can't handle spice.
For an unseasoned player.
Yeah, exactly. How many, he's been at there for 4 unseasons.
Yeah, they won't be able to use the season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Unseasons.
No, but again, like, this might be a little bit controversial, but do you know, like, I think it's great that everyone raves about, for instance, Kante, and everyone seems to like Saka at Arsenal, like, but sometimes the way they're described and the way they're sort of treated, it's almost as if they're infantilized.
Yeah.
It's almost like ruffling their hair and sort of like saying, aren't they cute, basically, essentially. And that sort of, I don't like that part of it because it's sort of like, I don't know, like it's patronizing to the point of like, oh, aren't they sort of like cute?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I just don't like it.
But I have been enjoying AFCON. I think Cote d'Ivoire might win.
Yeah.
Might win it.
Is it a Senegal still in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like I say, I haven't watched the games. I've been watching the extended highlights because the games have been on at normal time when I've been gigging.
Algeria was a big upset, wasn't it, for them? Because they won it last time, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're, I don't know. They just because they got Mahrez. But I don't know, like normally you see, but that's how you judge it, innit? With an African team, you're like, how many players? I don't know if it's wrong, but you're like, how many players do I recognise from the Premier League or Serie A or whatever?
But this is bad, but I'd never heard of Comoros.
Neither had I. But then, I feel that, but then I don't, until you ask someone from Sudan if they've heard of Gibraltar or the Faroe Islands, maybe they haven't, I don't know.
When was the first time you'd actually heard of the country of Cameroon? Was it during the World Cup?
1990, yeah.
Yeah, same here. I'd not heard of... I mean,
but that's just being young, isn't it? Yeah, I think.
I was only very young, yes. Yeah, so that's fair enough.
I also hadn't heard of the term Humberside.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? That's just one of them.
Yeah, I'd not heard of South Shields.
But there's still countries now that I don't know exist.
Yeah.
It was only like recently that I heard of Vanuatu.
Don't know. Isn't there's a apparently the because I'd heard of like San Marino is a landlocked, as in it's a country within a country completely.
Mm.
But apparently there's one in South Africa as well.
Right.
That's the, I think it begins with B, but like literally never heard of that country. I never heard of the idea that there's a whole country within South Africa.
Oh, I don't want to appear. It's not Lesotho, is it?
I don't know. Give it a quick Google. It's mad though, isn't it? Like geographically, isn't it mad having a country like...
Yeah, it is. Is Lesotho or Lesotho? Lesotho.
Right.
Lesotho, sorry.
Yeah.
Officially, the Kingdom of Lesotho is an enclave country surrounded entirely by South Africa. Is that the one you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think San Marino and...
Lesotho should play each other.
Yeah,
they should though.
Yeah.
They definitely should. All them shit, like little countries should play each other. Gibraltar.
You've said this before, but you
I think it's the best idea I've ever had about the World Cup.
Should be a massive...
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Imagine if Lesotho get South Africa in the first round and knock them out. Like.
But again, this is the great... Well, this is one of the great things about AFCON is that it's nice that there's been a few upsets.
Better.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's better because you don't know everyone.
Yeah.
And it's nice to like go, oh, he's good. Who's he play? Oh, he plays in the third division in France. Yeah. He looks a player, him. Like, I like that. And I don't know why. I've always like, I think it's because I genuinely think, because this is how shallow I am, I genuinely think it's been because of the kits. But I've always liked AFCON.
Yeah.
In the same way that I wouldn't give a fuck about Copa. I don't care about the Copa America. Mm. I don't care about, is it the Gold Cup?
Yeah.
The Australian one. And I don't care about the American one. Yeah. No, the Gold Cup might be the America, Mexico, Jamaica. Yeah. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But I really like AFCON. And maybe it's because it's in the season and it's not forced upon you, but it's there when you're already watching football.
I think I think not knowing all the players is a massive thing.
Yeah, it's great.
It's all like that used to be an amazing thing. Like when I was a kid, like, and again, like going back to the 1999 World Cup, it was great discovering players that you didn't know about.
Or you see players and they play for, because in my head, right, because I only knew the Africans, growing up, I only knew the African teams in the World Cup. So you'd know Nigeria, Cameroon, South Africa, and then Quinton Fortune played and a few players like Radebe, and then you'd know that. And you'd know about Liberia because of Weah.
Yeah.
But then when you start, so you're like, the first time I knew Mali was because Freddie Kanute.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Freddie Kanute. By the way, he's one of my favourite ever players, weirdly.
I always
thought that he was very similar to Sahar in the fact that if he'd have got the move to United, we'd have been talking about Freddie Kanute in the same way we were talking about Louis Sahar. Do you remember Momo Sylla?
Momo Sylla.
Played for Celtic.
I don't think.
But he played for Guinea.
Right.
And he played for Leicester as well. And I was like, he plays for Guinea. And then I just like it.
Yeah.
And then you see like players who aren't that good in the Premier League being like stars in there, like Lua Lua, who played for Dr. Congo, which I always find funny.
Yeah.
And I've always loved it, man. And it's a bit, when I watch it now, and the grounds aren't, this Cameroon, the grounds haven't been great. They've all got big running tracks and stuff. And it's not full, because you forget how fucking big Africa is.
Yeah.
Like.
And the distances.
Yeah. Mm. And you're like, oh, you got because I imagine it's well easier to get from, I don't know, England to Belgium to watch the Euros in 2000 than it probably is to get from Zimbabwe to Nigeria.
Do you know what that's reminded me of? Going totally off topic is, have you got Amazon? Amazon Prime? Have you seen?
Have you seen? Amazon? Have you heard of Amazon? What, the biggest company in the world? Yeah.
There's a bald guy who runs it. Don't know if you're aware. Yeah. A little niche boutique company. But like, they've got a documentary called Gary Neville in Qatar. I know. That's my
first. I'd rather watch Gary Neville with guitar, where he just gets phlegm off his chest for an hour.
Every time United doing badly, go and get my guitar.
Oh, no, I meant Qatar, the actual chesty cough.
But no, like when I first saw that, the name of it, I thought, oh, fucking hell, like, this is going to be like a total like pandering sort of like apologist sort of like thing. And like, and it's not long, it's like 40 minutes long, but like, he's pretty upfront at the beginning. He says, like, they've invited me over. So he's a bit dubious himself, but he said they've given me sort of license to ask any question and go, I know.
Gary Neville now is a cross between fucking Andy Burnham and Stacey Dooley. He needs to shut up. Like, he needs to decide what he wants to do now, Gary Neville. Like, I like him. And I know you'll probably edit that out, even though it was funny.
No, I will.
Nos still harbours hopes of getting Gary Neville on the pod. But like, don't get me wrong, I genuinely think he might be a good politician.
Yeah, he will.
But I hate it when people do everything at once.
Yeah.
Although his documentary with Carragher, when he goes to Bootle, is brilliant. Seen it?
Don't think I've seen it.
It's great. It's on YouTube. It's like Sky.
Oh, is it one of those overlap things?
Yeah. That's the overlap's good. Yeah.
But the reason I mentioned this thing is that like he does plenty of criticism about Qatar and asks sort of like all questions of them. But like one positive he sort of suggests, which isn't a positive at all when you balance it out with all the terrible things about Qatar, is that in more than any other like Euros or World Cup, like all the grounds are really close together, so travel will be both for the teams and the fans. Travel will not be an issue.
Right, fair enough. But what do you reckon's worse for a team? Traveling 2 hours from the team hotel to where you play your football, or playing in the hottest environment ever?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it's going to counter it out. Yeah. Because there's still going to be fatigue. It's just going to be different fatigue.
Yeah. And I stress that's not me sort of saying this is a good thing about Qatar. Like it in no way balances
out.
You
do say it's good, though. You say it's the best thing that's happened to football is all this.
Well, all these fucking innocent people. Mm,
yeah. You said no one says that about the pyramids.
I do not.
You said that's essentially what it is. Isn't it mad that I hear this stat all the time, and it's nothing to do with football, but it blows my mind, is that Cleopatra was born closer to the invention of the iPhone than the pyramids being built.
So fucked up, isn't it?
Mad, isn't it?
Mad.
Because, of course, Cleopatra were born in the 80s in Moss Side.
Yep, and they were coming at you.
Yeah, they were coming at you.
I'm sure, this might be so disrespectful, to the members of Cleopatra who probably went on to have massively successful careers. I'm sure I had my hair cut by, or my hair washed by one of them once at a barber's or at a hairdresser's.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you did?
Yeah. I'd like to know what they're doing now.
Better than your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, they've aged better than that.
Probably cleaning your hair out the sink still.
Yeah. Maybe my hair's like fucking like some kind of cursed Indiana Jones sort of
like the monkey's hand from The Simpsons.
If you touch it, you disappear as well as itself.
We didn't do the phone call thing that we're gonna do, but we'll do that next week.
Yeah,
we're back now though.
Yeah,
Noz is committed again.
What you don't know is there's been so many sort of like peace talks because we've fallen out. What did we fall out about?
Well, you said
That is definitely edited out. I thought this was going to be a whole episode when nothing was edited out. Before we go, can I just send you something on WhatsApp? We'll edit this delay out, but I just wanted to send you something. So yeah, so what I'm sending you now is, you know, we talk about Penaldo and Pesce.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, but there's somebody else who, through previous tweets, was sort of very into that kind of argument.
Oh, is this the Luke Shaw tweet?
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to read them out to people who aren't aware, but I think these are from 2013.
Yeah,
he would have been out of Southampton at that point.
He would have been young at that point as well.
Prime Pesce Penaldo sort of age. Yeah,
so he's put, not really a Ronaldo fan, but fair play to him tonight. Always been in Messi's shadow, but the way he's playing at the moment is unstoppable.
Well, that's not bad.
And then someone's asked him a question. Someone's probably gone, Ronaldo's better than Messi or whatever. And then he's replied to Shane Mac 95. What can be done that what can be that Ronaldo can't? He's on about Messi. What can he do that Ronaldo can't?
Yeah. And what's
so someone's put, what can Messi do that Ronaldo can't? Yeah. That's obviously what's happened. And he's put, he scored 91 goals in 1 year. Has Ronaldo done that?
Wow.
And then there's another one. Ronaldo's taking the piss out of Holland. Are you lot watching? And then he's added Shaw. And Shaw's put, look at you begging off him because he had the one good game. Messi does it all the time now. Shush. Hashtag team Messi. Fucking hell.
That's such a young thing to say, why you're begging off him.
Yeah, but if what someone needed to do is go back in time and go, mate, not only that, he's going to knit your custard, you fat cunt.
Maybe that's why. Maybe Ronaldo saw those and thought, mate.
Ah, that's probably what it is.
First thing I'm doing.
Fucking, I've took your custard off you. Has Messi done that?
He was going to go to City. Found out there was a chance to go to United. Thought, right, that fucking cunt. This is a long game.
Yeah. Oh, that is a great long win, that, isn't it? It's like lucky number 11. take your cake off you. It's fucking, well, there will be blood. I've drunk your milkshake.
There will be no custard. what goes around comes around, doesn't it?
Apparently, like that, you know, that there was a rumor that he lived off takeaway, Luke Shaw.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Apparently, it's true. Like, his delivery bill was like ridiculous. Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah. Mad.
Well, there you go.
That's the end of that. And he doesn't have to, he gets Wagamama on Deliveroo and they don't have to bring the special menu out, the Matrix. And he mollocks it.
He probably just asks for the usual.
Yeah, that's probably.
look at us, fat shaming.
I know, fat shaming Luke Shaw, who isn't fat.
No, in the slightest.
That's why it's allowed, isn't it?
Exactly. We're punching up, if anything.
Yeah, we are. We are punching up into his big fat neck. He's not even fat.
No.
I'm well fat compared to Luke Shaw. Genuinely fat.
Oh. Right. Is that us?
That is us, so us right now. Thanks for listening to DLG. Keep liking, subscribing.
We promise to be regular now, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to sync up like ladies' periods in the Big Brother house. And also, it's the new year, so I imagine we're going to come with some new shit.
Yeah.
Let us know if there's anything you want. Do you want to see us? Might be able to sort that out. Is there...
It'd be nice to get listeners involved some way.
Yeah.
Like whether it's sort of like voicemails or something.
Yeah. Basically, we're very much open to whatever you want to do, right? Would you want to see less football, more football? Yeah.
Is there certain guests that have come on that you think are great that you want them back on?
Let us know what guests you want on, actually, because I do want to get guests on. Do that. That'd be lovely. And listen to my other podcast, the Damn Daniel podcast.
Yeah.
Follow Noz. And follow Noz's other account as well.
That's edited
out. I know it's edited out. Of course it's edited out. That's fine. I did it on purpose to make you laugh. So, like, subscribe,
5-star reviews, tell your mates, and yeah, we're coming with new shit. Let us know if you want, if there's anything you want. If you're ever local, if you live around Chester and you want to sit in and watch one,
yeah,
that'd be cool. Come down when we record. Let us know. Hit us up and we'll let you in. Yeah, and we'll see you next week. Say bye then.
See ya. Bye.
And that's a magic number.